in complete dependence upon the help of the Spirit of Truth. Ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 146 and to verse 5. Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The sentence continues, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth for ever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The following sentence, of course, declares much of the Lord's workings and his ways, his goodness. We'll just read that. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth up them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He releaseth the fatherless and widow. But where the wicked he turneth upside down. We may say, an infidel heart or a person may say, well, Lord, don't do it to everybody. And open the eyes of the blind. It can have the spiritual sense. Because there's great blindness upon men. Naturally, they don't believe. When gospel light comes, begin to see as never before. Begin to hear as never before. We hear of the wonders of redeeming love, the beauty of Christ, the fullness of his salvation. See, wondrous things in God's law. One we sing by faith, wondrous truth that the Lord lives and reigns above. Well, the Lord help us indeed to follow in these paths of righteousness. It's particularly verse 5 upon my mind. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So we're told here, and also we read in Happy Art There Israel, as a people saved, like unto thee saved by the Lord in Deuteronomy. Reading also concerning the Queen of Sheba, she says to Solomon, happy are thy people, happy are thy servants. Friends, I know there may be a certain relation to the providential side of things, and we come to a good God to supply our need. We live in a day of affluence. There's still people in poverty, there's still much weakness, but nevertheless, we have so much to be thankful for. A bed, a home, roof over our head, and if we're able to have employment and things like that. Of course there are difficulties, an evil world. There's much dishonesty and cheating and lying and cruelty in the earth, all because of sin, but we have a good God to go to help us in all details, our distresses, all the changing scenes, the burdens, the worries, the daily trials we meet with, heavy cases and so many different things, you see. We still would behold the throne of grace. So, yes, there is a happiness, a peculiar joy and peace in believing, the apostle wrote to the Romans. That's where our happiness is. Yes, there's a happiness in looking to Christ, trusting in Christ, believing in Christ, believing the covenant promises, their yea and amen in Christ. And now the psalmist here, you see, by inspiration we believe, makes the comment concerning Jacob. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. We read in the difficulties of some of the difficulties of Jacob, didn't we? Poor man. He had trial after trial. Wasn't he a sinner though, poor man? We're no better. We can't cast stones. a peculiar case. I often say this, and you've probably heard me say it before. The most remarkable case, Jacob, the wonders of redeeming love to him. He lied to get a blessing. We can't excuse him, can we? It's a downright barefaced lie. I'm not owed it. I owed his son Esau. The mystery of this is the love of God and the victory of God. No excuse for sin. God chastened Jacob. The many trials he had were part of the humbling of Jacob, the tissue of Jacob. Are we sons of Jacob? Think of the word in Malachi. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's a word to Israel, the last of the prophets, Malachi. And it's like that to us in our day, isn't it? Are we sons of Jacob by faith? Believing in the Lord as Jacob did, as Isaac did, as Abraham did. Those that believe are justified, we read. Abraham is the pattern, we read in Genesis first, then through into the Gospels. Abraham believed God, accounting for righteousness. But Abraham lied about his wife, didn't he, to save his own head? He didn't really trust then, did he, poor man? Abraham acted in unbelief to raise up Isaac, also, raise up Ishmael also. It caused him trouble later. We, even the godly patriarchs, like Isaac, Jacob and Abraham, we see the pattern of our own selves. But what a mercy to see this pattern through God's grace to us. We believe in the Lord and look to the Lord for all mercy, grace and help, though we are poor and needy sinners still, or the faithfulness of God. Well, poor Jacob, you see, he lied to get a blessing. And as I say, the mystery is the blood of Christ. As I said at the Lord's Supper this morning, the blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleansed from all sin, doubt it not, reconciles the soul to God from every folly, every fault. The Lord forgave their iniquities. Oh, he forgives our iniquities, doesn't he? Blessed be his good and holy name. A God of mercy, a God of rich grace. Ah, but we must repent of our sins. No doubt Jacob couldn't chide his sons, could he, when they lied to him about Joseph? Oh, the humbling of Jacob. He said, all these things are against me. I go with sorrow to the grave. Oh, Joseph is not. Now, one of the sons in, my memory fails me, not Levi, Simeon. Simeon was bound in prison in Egypt. And they're going to take Benjamin, his favourite son, an idol. All your idols will I cleanse you. Joseph was a worthy son, but he was an idol. It caused jealousy among the brethren. Benjamin was an idol also. He got to go into Egypt. He had to yield to God. And in our trials, my friend, we have to yield to God as poor Jacob had to yield to God. And all the good news came. But over Benjamin, over the head, Joseph's alive. He couldn't believe it. His heart fainted at the news. Now, you both, dear friends, when you're really approaching the end of life, it's wonderful to consider, if the Lord strengthens our soul, to look up and look to him. All is past. All has been profitable. He's been a good God to us. He's changed for our sins. He's tried our faith. He's done wondrous works. Answered so many prayers. Tried all our shortcomings. Ah, delivered. Oh, there's a glory to come, poor needy sinner. None of the faults of God's people in the Scripture are written to make us live carelessly and sinfully. God forbid the thought. God forbid the thought. But you see, it's a pattern of what we are, sinners, saved by grace. In Hosea, I'll heal their backsliding. I'll love them freely from anger that's turned away from him. Well, you see, Jacob, he was a liar. And his children lied to him. But God blessed Jacob. Blessed Abraham, he lied. Isaac lied also concerning his wife. It wasn't even by faith, was it, my friends? If they'd really had the truth, well, they did have true faith, but if it was an exercise, I said, yes, she's my wife, trust in God to protect. It's easy to say these things, isn't it? But friends, we're just as weak ourselves, if left to our own selves. Oh, the goodness of God, it's wondrous grace. So there's much reference to Jacob in the scriptures, even in the New Testament, you see, a sweet pattern of God's love and mercy. So we have it here. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Doesn't consider this happiness of the sons of Jacob. They have a mighty God to go to. We read of the mighty God of Jacob. As poor and needy sinners here, believers, justified believers, we believe we have an almighty, powerful God who can do everything. He can control people's hearts. He can control men at work. He can control unruly neighbours. He can hear our poor prayers to help us in much difficulty. He's promised to supply every need. Oh, the mighty God of Jacob. And he's mighty to save us from our sins, from ourselves, our mistakes, our follies. And what a mighty God is, everlasting, performing salvation. Where would we be without the hand of the mighty God of Jacob? He performs salvation, not only in instructions in our heart and communing to us in our hearts, but in our outward journey of life. He makes crooked things straight and rough places plain. You know, my friends, can truly help us each to look to him and trust in him. He can subdue our sins. Have you felt, well, I know I've had those times when sins have been getting hold of me. And what happens? We get worse, but oh, if we could rest and look to him. He hears our prayers and helps us. We're in trouble, we're in trials. Oh, we can't manage. We feel we're going to sink under these heavy burdens. Maybe afflictions in the family, sorrows of the way, sorrows of life. Yes, oh, how we think we can't continue. We cry to the mighty God of Jacob. Here's our poor prayers, and helps us. So he's the almighty God. He's got great power. Read one of the Psalms, infinite in power. Oh, that, doesn't Psalmist say something, I'm just getting in my mind now. Power belongs, once have I heard this, yea, twice. Power belongs unto God, ultimately belongeth mercy. My friends, this power of upholding us, supporting us, keeping us, saving us from the devil's power and the bewitching world around us. He gives us faith to look up to him and reverence him and delight in him. He gives us something of his love in our heart when we begin to love him in return. Oh, the power of God unto salvation. We see in our providences that I've already hinted at, in the difficult times, friends, the power of turning Esau's heart. Esau naturally was full of vengeance. He'd been cheated, so he thought, but it was God's purpose. He didn't fear God. He was not a godly man, Esau, very sadly and solemnly. But he wanted the providential side of the blessing. Well, you see, the Lord prospered Esau. He made him a great nation of peoples, like he made Jacob as well. But the covenant blessing wasn't promised to him. And they are great, the sons of Esau and Ishmael are great nations, are they not, in the land? We won't go into the detail of those things. But the point is, you see, he's a faithful God, but the favour was to Jacob in salvation. Oh, my friends, he turned the heart of Esau. My friends, he turned the heart of the jailer of Joseph. He caused Pharaoh to dream. And my friends, the butler, forgotten about Joseph. Let us place ourselves in the situation here. The butler, he was probably going to die. But he had a dream, and his fellow servant, the baker, had a dream. And this Hebrew slave interpreted the dreams correctly. And the butler forgot him till a certain time. I see God's power in that. That's God's power. Making him forget him until a certain day. When the Pharaoh had a dream. And they were perplexed how they could interpret this dream. You remember Joseph. He was called out of prison. Set before Pharaoh. A complete change in life. That's the mighty power of God. But I must come to more spiritual things than salvation. Oh, the power of God in forgiving our sins and reconciling us poor enemies to him. We're enemies in our natural mind. We're sinners saved by his grace. Oh, my friends, how the mighty power of God overshadowing the womb of the Virgin, and the Saviour came and grew in stature, little babe, he was preserved, of course, from death in early days, Herod and so on. And he grew up, preserved, and we believe he lived a spotless life. No spot or blemish or sin could be charged upon the sacred humanity of our dear Lord Jesus. He fully loved God for us. He magnified the law for us. He did it for us. But you see, think of the power here, friends. Our Heavenly Father laid our sins upon him. Reckoned them over to him. I said this morning, he never became a sinner. He could not. He's God, the Son. But he bore the punishment, the iniquity of us all. And you ponder the thousands, millions of believers in the earth. I know they're small in number compared perhaps to the unbeliever, but yeah, we do not know the number to be saved, do we? It's God's secret. I believe there's yet to be an outpouring of the Spirit. And no doubt many nations will be richly blessed, we believe, in the unknown way ahead of our life in this world. But think of the millions that are saved and have been from Adam's day, all generations. The gospel promise never died out in Old Testament times. Oh, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, you read in the book of Esther. That was the end of the promise. He hated the Jews. He had a good plan to destroy them. Especially get rid of Mordecai. He hated him. He wouldn't honour him because he was a heathen. And he wouldn't honour Haman. Well, friends, how unravelled in a night, didn't he? The power of God. Yes, the king could not sleep. Let's get the chronicles to amuse my time. I know that many other times the king couldn't sleep with eating and drinking and partying and all that they did in those days, you see. And yeah, but to amuse his time, let's get the chronicles. God's power, the record of the assassination of the king was brought before him. Oh, he says, pause for a moment. What was done for Mordecai the Jew? Nothing. Who's in court? Haman. Dear friends, the skill and power of God. A wonder-working God. Let us trust him. It's the small details of our lives. Not mistrust him and doubt him, but to believe he'll always do the good, the right, and the things he's promised in his word to the coming sinner, the needy sinner, the poor sinner, the confessing sinner. We know the end of that, don't we? They hung Mordecai on his own gallows. What a change took place. Yes, we could trace through all the strips, can't we? Well, you see, happy is that people that hath the God of Jacob for his help. His help. My friend, we need much helping, do we not, in all our journey through. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, or that people, God of Jacob for his help. So we can go to the God of Jacob, skillful, wise, omnipotent, all-powerful God, a God of much grace, much mercy, much tenderness. Jacob deserved no help. I deserve no help myself. You don't deserve any help. My other dear friends, we're in the same boat as sinners, but oh, the grace enlightens us in the love of God and the grace of God. Happy is that people. And it's a full happiness, an everlasting happiness. Who hope is in the Lord his God. Hope is a wonderful grace, isn't it? Hope always follows true faith. Now, faith is the mother of graces, often it's put that way. Because all the graces spring from faith, believing in the Lord, and trusting in the Lord, waiting upon God. That's the beginning. The greatest grace, though, and all the most beautiful grace is love. Because the love we taste and the love we have towards God, which he gives us as he loves us, we love him in return, that will not die in our death. When we die by faith, the faith affects us, the exercise faith stops in death, safely landed. We're not fighting anymore. We're not journeying anymore. Oh, we've no more sorrow, no more tears. We don't need any more help then, the other side of death in glory, do we? Think of the bliss of those who have gone to heaven. Dear friends, they're so happy beyond all human language. They're bathing in the love of God, the presence of God. Yes, they know no need, have no weaknesses. They don't have any fears. There's no devils. There's no unbelieving nature. Sin is past forever, and they bathe in the love of God. Their sinful bodies are in the grave, and the dust will rise one day when Christ comes a second time to unite with those bodies, as Jesus brings this bride with him in the clouds of heaven at his last coming. Dear friends, you see, but while we're living here, we need more faith. And hope is something that springs from faith. So we read here, don't we? Whose hope is in the Lord his God. Gospel hope is something very sure, very certain. It's not a hazy hope. A man with a family may say, well, I said, can we go to the seaside, Dad? And say, well, perhaps we'll go along tomorrow. We hope to go tomorrow then, perhaps. But he can't be sure they're able to go tomorrow. Change may come, the weather may change, little things like that in our lives. But the Christian's hope can never fail. It's a sure hope based upon a solid truth. God is faithful that promised. The God of Jacob, for his help, his hope, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's a solid hope based upon the victory of Christ. In this hope, we have a hope that we should brought safely all the details of our lives. Now, there are different religions on the earth, and there are fortune tellers and all sorts of people around, magicians and whatnot, and it's all to do with our future here below. But we have our future. We long to leave all our future in the hand of our heavenly, merciful Father and dear Saviour Jesus, who can never lie concerning the gospel promises. He's a blessed man that makes the Lord his trust. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call from the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Nor die the first death, they'll never die the second death. They'll live in death. They'll see him at last. Ah, you see, dear friends, we have a good God to go to. He'll call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. So believers, pilgrims, in their troubles, cry to the mighty God of Jacob. They're brought safely through. Oh, my dear friends, you see, and it involves, we are tried, our faith is tried, and we must all remember this as well. We're poor things, aren't we, and we do need the Lord to heal us. For I'm the Lord that healeth thee is a wonderful word, isn't it? And again, some of them healeth our diseases, forgive us our iniquities, a good God to go to. But we must remember this, and as I'm now 79 and a half, I have to say it to myself many times. Yes, brought safely and healed from many sicknesses and viruses and all sorts of things over the years, and spared and helped. But the day coming when I shall have a last illness, what a mercy to be ready to ripen for glory. What a mercy, my friends, if we come to a place where we don't want to live any more here. We long to go and see him, the mighty God of Jacob, our dear heavenly friend, our dear Saviour. These are solemn things, aren't they? I think he's coming along in the car. A dear friend drives along. Lord grant a safe journey today, and I'm very thankful for it. But coming to the M4, I thought about my life, and I realised I haven't got so many more years to live now. And I tried to pray about my dying day. And I thought to be with me, that when it really comes, I might realise it and may look to him alone. He may help me and fulfil his own promise to my poor needy soul. It's like that with you, dear friend, who trust in him. We can't face death naturally. I'm sure of this. We all say yes to our flesh and nature. Death is a frightening thing, the scourge of mankind. But what a mercy if we're believers. We believe that those who trust in him, serve him here below, honour him, and who call upon him, believe in their very hearts he's the Christ, must and shall be saved according to the scriptures. Oh, they were sinners, they were transgressed like worm Jacob, like the psalmist David, the sweet singer of Israel. His checkered pathway, his ups and downs, his pride, his unbelief, his adulteries, his murders, and his deceitfulness. Oh, my friends, sinners saved by grace. God's dear people, poor Peter, so strong and so bold. I know not the man. You're a liar, Peter. And you're denying your dear Lord and Master. You profess to love so much. How quickly he went down, poor man. The grace of God, he looked upon him to break his heart. And you know what is the Lord's hand? Look upon you, break your own heart, my friends. We come to a good God. Well, may we, he write his laws in our hearts. Yes, whose hope in the Lord, his God. We hope then in his covenant faithfulness. He cannot lie. We hope in the shedding of his precious sin-atoning blood, what I mentioned this morning. Yes, dear friends, that precious blood was shed once. The apostle brings it out in the Hebrews chapter 9. He died once. That glorious sacrifice for sin. Let us trust him who died once to put away all our sins by shedding his own blood, satisfying the justice of God in the sinner must indeed die. So since it shall die. Now, friends, Jesus died for a number, we cannot number. Of all nations of peoples, sinners, he died once for them. And when he died for them, he cried, "It is finished." And it meant that this, you see, all is accomplished. The church is saved. The church past, Old Testament church, as it were, the present Jews and Gentiles of that generation, and all the nations to come, and the people to come, all saved by that one wonderful, glorious sacrifice, Jesus dying for the ungodly. Didn't die for godly people, and ungodly by nature, died for the ungodly people. But grace makes them godly, God-fearing and God-believing. They trust alone to Christ. They see a beauty in Christ. Whosoever the Lord is God. So we hope in his mercy, don't we? He's been a God of mercy to me over these years. Can you say the same, my dear friends? A God of mercy to you? He certainly has to me. I'm sure you can trace out the same. And my friends, yes, he's honoured his own word of grace to us. Where we have trusted and hoped and believed in exercise for him, we've proved he honours this. He cannot deny himself. But he also, you see, has declared a name. We hope in his name. The precious name of Jesus. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, drives away his fear. Oh, what a glorious name. In Isaiah 63, yes, he led them in that way. Can't quite quote the text now, but to make himself a glorious name. He's made himself a glorious name, the name of Jesus. Called Jesus because he saves his people from their sins. He's the Christ, the anointed of God, the mighty Saviour. And not one jot or tittle of gospel promises sealed by Jesus' precious blood shall ever fail. One, I almost think of closing now, but another glorious name, Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord our righteousness. I can't help it, but I have one or two unrighteous thoughts today. I mean, you wouldn't. I'm nothing particularly terrible, but nevertheless, we're unright in our thoughts sometimes, aren't we? May say something unkind about somebody. We may have very wicked thoughts in our hearts sometimes. We get so angry sometimes, you want to perhaps hit somebody for what they're saying to you. Oh, that's our sinnership. Lord, preserve us from it. Outwardly demonstrate this unto confess to him all our sins and to keep us in his fear all the day long. But you see, dear friends, that precious blood, it cleanses from all our sins. And he is our righteousness. We're not our own. Our righteousness is in heaven in the person of Jesus, Jehovah Sikenu. The Lord, our righteousness. And we're sheltered in that righteousness. We're accounted to be righteous that believe and trust. And therefore we have to confess before the sons of men and to each other, of course, as well as brethren together. Yes, we're poor sinners, but you believe we're righteous in the merit of Jesus. The very person of Jesus, being in his nature God the Son and God with us, a real man. Jesus is our righteousness. What a wonderful truth that is when you feel so weak and tempted or guilty at times. To look up to him, Jehovah Sikenu, our righteousness, our Saviour. His blood speaks in heaven's high court above. Oh, the sweet truth of these everlasting gospel truths. And just one last thought. Heaven and earth shall pass away. All things shall come to an end here below. But my words shall not pass away. All the scripture saith, my dear friends, all that is declared in the word of God shall stand and stand forever. Lord, help us to believe. Didn't the good man say in Mark 9, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Unbelief arises often from our own heart through the circumstance, the trial of faith. And we do have the trial of faith. We read in Peter, the first epistle of Peter, the trial of our faith, much more present. God that perisheth. And therefore, you see, that precious blood has atoned. Let us have faith in God. Oh dear, one last word keeps springing up. I must try and think about closing. Read in John 6. The disciples came and said to Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now, it's a good question because I'm sure you all desire to work the works of God. If you're a sincere person, you really want to work the works of God, don't you? Now, look at the answer of Jesus. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You read down in that, further in that chapter, they didn't really like that teaching. They were expecting something that they could do themselves. But what a mercy if you can be in gospel light to believe in your dear righteousness, your dear lamb that was slain once. There was that precious blood, the promise sealed by that blood, and the precious truth of over the years have been sown into your heart. Hold it fast, looking to Christ. He's faithful that promised. He cannot lie. He'll not deny anyone that comes to him pleading Christ, sincere in his heart. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. See, coming sinners, confessing their sins, trusting to him, they're being drawn by the Father. All that comes to him are in no wise cast out. Because, my friends, our Heavenly Father has given the church to Christ. But I must force myself to close. Well, beautiful truth. Lord, give us that happiness. I want to dwell more on the happiness, actually. But, well, the Lord give us a peculiar happiness in trusting and looking to Christ alone. Well, thinking of Christ, whose son is he? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, so be in the Lord his God. So the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, please bless thy word. Oh, bless the remarks made and the sweet truth of thyself. And forgive anything that's been uttered wrongly in thy sight. But follow thy blessing upon it all. And do grant us safe journeys now to our homes in peace and safety. Call thy good will to spare us to meet again. According to thy good will, we plead thy precious name for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.